The Richland County Sheriff's Office has provided an update regarding the recent stabbing at a Lone Rock gas station, which occurred at approximately 12:05 p.m. on Sunday. Witnesses assisted in keeping the suspect at the scene until deputies arrived. Upon arrival, Joseph Schultz, 35, of Lone Rock, was taken into custody. Schultz was later transported to the Richland County Jail and charged with attempted first-degree intentional homicide. The victim, a 42-year-old male from Madison, sustained multiple knife wounds. Witnesses and Lone Rock EMS provided initial treatment at the scene before the victim was transported to UW-Madison for further medical treatment. The victim is in stable condition and is expected to make a full recovery. Investigators later determined that the victim and Schultz were not known to each other. Today is the Kiwanis Backpack Pickup in the Richland School District for those who pre-registered. That's going on at the Phoenix Center from now until 6 p.m. So if you signed up, get down to the Phoenix Center, get your backpack from the Kiwanis Club. The Richland Center Common Council is set to convene Tuesday, September 1st at 6:30 p.m. in the Municipal Building Council Chambers. A primary focus of the meeting will be a public hearing and subsequent deliberation regarding the potential discontinuation of the city's shared ride taxi service. Additionally, the council will review Resolution 2026-11, which outlines the city's formal concerns to the Public Service Commission regarding the proposed BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line project. Intergovernmental cooperation and legal infrastructure also feature prominently on the agenda. The council will discuss the operational status and city contributions for the Simons Recreational Complex, alongside the anticipated selection and contract award for the city attorney and legal services. Administrative modernization is also moving forward, with the council slated to consider a contract for the migration of the city's website and agenda management systems. Several committee-driven recommendations are up for final action from the Budget Committee. Members will consider the usage of WEC election security subgrant funds and the adoption of a new purchasing and procurement policy. The Planning Commission has brought forward a conditional use permit application from Schreiber Foods for dairy processing at 920 Sextonville Road. Meanwhile, Public Works recommendations include the award of the 2026 street maintenance bid and the annual dike inspection contract. The evening will conclude with a closed session to negotiate terms and financial incentives related to the development agreement with Cobblestone Hotels. Richland County has scheduled three committee meetings for early September to address critical public services and administrative oversight. The Richland County Ad Hoc EMS District Formation Committee will meet Wednesday, September 2nd at 2 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom of the Courthouse. During this session, the committee is slated to discuss and potentially act on the steering committee charter. Members will also review key takeaways, feedback, and action items from the recent towns meeting to determine recommended next steps. Additionally, the committee will focus on preparations for an upcoming town hall meeting intended for broader community engagement regarding emergency medical services. The following day, Thursday, September 3rd, the Richland County Community and Health Services Standing Committee will convene at 10:30 a.m. in the same boardroom on the third floor of the courthouse. The comprehensive agenda includes administrative reports from the Health and Human Services Director and Pine Valley Community Village, alongside detailed expenditures and budget summaries for 2026. Committee members will examine the HHS organizational chart and contract monitoring reports. A significant item for discussion and possible action is the approval of the application and acceptance of a Treatment Alternatives and Diversion, or TAD, grant, which aims to support local health and judicial initiatives. On Friday, September 4th, the Richland County Public Safety and Judiciary Standing Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. in the county boardroom. The meeting will feature extensive departmental activity reports from the sheriff, coroner, circuit court judge, and district attorney, among others. In addition to administrative updates and monthly bill reviews, the committee will engage in discussion and possible action regarding the 2027 PSAP grant application and updates to the Local Emergency Planning Committee membership. A primary focus of the session will be the potential approval of a new ambulance purchase, continuing the county's evaluation of emergency service resources. The Richland Hospital and Clinics has reached a significant milestone in its mission to provide comprehensive local health care by officially launching its new Vision Services Clinic. This expansion addresses a long-standing gap in community care, bringing essential eye health services directly to Richland Center. Central to this new chapter is the arrival of Dr. Darren Vitz, an experienced optometrist who joins the medical staff to offer dedicated, family-centered vision care. Dr. Vitz brings over three decades of clinical expertise to the Richland Hospital, having practiced optometry since 1995. His professional background is distinguished by a deep commitment to treating patients of all ages, from pediatric care to managing complex conditions such as glaucoma and macular degeneration. Beyond his clinical proficiency, Dr. Vitz is also an accomplished musician with a degree in music, reflecting a diverse set of talents that he brings to the Richland Center community. The addition of Dr. Vitz complements the advanced surgical capabilities of Dr. Douglas Bull, who has been providing cataract surgery and complex eye procedures at the Richland Hospital since early 2026. Together, the two providers offer a full spectrum of eye care, ranging from routine exams and medical diagnosis to laser retina surgeries and lens replacements. Dr. Bull noted that having Dr. Vitz on the team rounds out the services for local residents who previously had to travel to find such specialized care. For Dr. Vitz, the decision to join the Richland Hospital was motivated by the hospital's collaborative environment and the opportunity to build lasting relationships with families. He emphasizes that vision health goes far beyond achieving 20/20 vision, stressing the vital importance of routine screenings to detect underlying health issues. As he begins his tenure at the new Vision Services Clinic, Dr. Vitz is actively accepting new patients, further solidifying the Richland Hospital's commitment to high-quality care close to home. On Friday, a coordinated effort between the Iowa County Sheriff's Office and the Dodgeville Police Department resulted in the arrest of two individuals following a reported theft at Walmart in Dodgeville. The incident began at 7:42 p.m. when Sergeant Nathan Kenneker and his canine partner Sam identified a vehicle matching the description of the suspect's vehicle. During the ensuing traffic stop, the male driver, identified as Jeffrey Raymond Holman, 37 of Granton, Wisconsin, exited the vehicle, ignored commands, and fled on foot. A significant law enforcement presence, including deputies, the Dodgeville Police Department, and the Iowa County Sheriff's Office drone team, responded to assist. Sergeant Kenneker deployed K-9 Sam, who successfully tracked Holman to a dumpster at a nearby business, where he was taken into custody without further incident. Holman, who was on bond for prior cases, was found to have 10 outstanding warrants and numerous open cases in Dane and Columbia counties. He now faces a long list of charges, including resisting or obstructing an officer, operating while revoked, and multiple counts of bail jumping. The investigation at the vehicle scene continued with Deputy Benish and K-9 Phoenix, leading to the arrest of 53-year-old Troy W. Clark of McFarland. Clark was also out on bond. He was arrested for felony and misdemeanor bail jumping, as well as possession of drug paraphernalia. This successful operation highlighted the effectiveness of interagency cooperation. Sheriff Michael Peterson commended the Dodgeville Police Department, deputies, K-9 teams, the drone team, and the Iowa County Communications Center for their roles in the safe resolution. The incident also showcased the ongoing dedication of K-9 Sam, who, despite an upcoming retirement on December 31st, continues to be a vital asset to the department and the community. In the early hours of Saturday morning, a disturbance at the Goodspeed Family Pier led to the arrest of two individuals for a violent sexual assault. At approximately 4:10 a.m., a bystander alerted the University of Wisconsin-Madison Police Department after witnessing an incident near Alumni Park. Responding officers arrived on the scene to find that a sexual assault had taken place and immediately took two suspects into custody. According to investigators, the victim and the two suspects, none of whom were affiliated with the university, had met at a local bar earlier in the evening. The group eventually walked together to the pier, where the victim was attacked and assaulted while attempting to leave the area. The two men arrested in connection with the crime have been identified as 31-year-old Yorfred H. Marcano Gutierrez and 27-year-old Arturo R. Santos Albujas, both residents of Fitchburg. Following their arrest, Gutierrez and Albujas were booked into the Dane County Jail. They currently face several tentative charges, including second-degree sexual assault with force, battery, false imprisonment, and strangulation and suffocation. Authorities are investigating a single-vehicle rollover crash that occurred Sunday evening on I-39 northbound at mile marker 142 near Madison. The Wisconsin State Patrol responded to the scene at approximately 7:30 p.m. at the exit ramp for Highways 12 and 18. The crash involved a 2008 Volvo occupied by two individuals. A 40-year-old male passenger was pronounced deceased at the scene. The driver, a 25-year-old female, was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The Wisconsin State Patrol Technical Reconstruction Unit is currently leading the investigation into the cause of the rollover. Gasoline prices in Wisconsin have experienced a significant decrease over the past week, falling 10.2 cents per gallon to reach an average of $3.81. This downward trend marks a relief for local motorists, with current prices sitting 16 cents lower than they were 1 month ago. However, despite this recent cooling, the cost at the pump remains 83 cents higher than a year ago. Across the state, the cost of fuel varies widely. Recent reports indicate the cheapest station is priced at $3.49, while the most expensive reached $4.59 per gallon, representing a difference of $1.10. On the national stage, the average price of gasoline has also dipped, falling 3.2 cents per gallon over the last week to settle at an average of $4.01 per gallon today. Similar to the state trend, the national average is down 7.3 cents from a month ago, but remains 86.2 cents higher than the previous year. While the national average price of diesel saw a more modest decrease of 1.4 cents to $5.57 per gallon, the broader market continues to respond to shifting global dynamics and oil price movements. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, noted that while oil prices have offered some relief, the market remains complex. DeHaan highlighted a recent major deal between the Trump administration and Venezuela as a sign of concern regarding elevated fuel prices, though he cautioned that the benefits of increased output from Venezuela will take years to materialize. He pointed to ongoing tensions between the United States and Iran, as well as continued Ukrainian attacks on Russian oil refineries, as the primary drivers of global market volatility. Motorists are advised to expect continued fluctuations in the weeks ahead as these international factors exert influence on the cost of fuel. As the representative for Wisconsin's 17th Senate District, Senator Howard Markline has worked to utilize his role to bridge the gap between local concerns and state policy to ensure that the unique challenges of southern and southwestern Wisconsin are addressed with practical solutions. Education remains a top priority for Senator Markline, particularly the financial health of local school districts. Recognizing that special education costs often strain local budgets, he helped increase state funding by $550 million, a 47% increase that brings reimbursement rates to their highest levels in decades. Markline has consistently argued that while statewide funding increases are historic, the school funding formula must account for the declining enrollment facing many rural districts. He has actively sought ways to provide school boards with more spendable resources and breathing room, advocating for bipartisan agreements that would further increase special education aids to provide property tax relief for his constituents. In response to the rising cost of living, Senator Markline has turned a sharp focus toward utility expenses and energy policy. To provide immediate relief, he voted to eliminate the state sales tax on residential electricity and natural gas bills, a move that saves taxpayers 5.5% every month. Beyond direct costs, Markline is a vocal advocate for local control regarding large-scale energy developments. He authored legislation to give communities a meaningful say in the approval process for wind and solar projects, challenging the current system where the Public Service Commission can override local objections. Governor Tony Evers has issued a sharp rebuke of President Trump and congressional Republicans, highlighting the significant economic strain placed on Wisconsin families as the 2026-27 school year begins. The governor attributes the, quote, sky-high costs of essential back-to-school items to the federal government's trade wars and tariff policies, which have exacerbated inflation for working households. A recent analysis indicates that families will face an average expenditure of nearly $4,000 per child this school year, marking a double-digit percentage increase over the previous year. These rising expenses are forcing many parents to either accumulate debt or substantially reduce other household spending to accommodate the needs of their students. The financial burden is particularly evident in the surging prices of basic classroom supplies and daily lunch provisions. Educational staples such as notebooks have seen dramatic price hikes, while the weekly cost of packing school lunches has climbed to approximately $106 per child. Governor Evers specifically called out members of Wisconsin's own congressional delegation for enabling these economic strategies rather than intervening to protect their constituents. With families already grappling with higher costs for utilities, gas, and groceries, the governor emphasized that these additional school-related price increases represent an avoidable hardship caused by short-sighted federal leadership and a lack of legislative action to curb erratic trade policies. State Representative Travis Tranel, chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee, is highlighting Wisconsin's strong fiscal position as a vital opportunity to deliver meaningful results for rural residents. With new state fiscal estimates for 2025-26 projecting revenues $450.8 million above previous forecasts, the state is currently on track for an estimated $2.8 billion surplus. Representative Tranel emphasized that this financial strength built on responsible spending decisions should directly benefit taxpayers through common sense tax relief, increased support for local schools, and property tax reductions. While a bipartisan $1.8 billion tax relief package was previously rejected in the state Senate, Tranel views these updated figures as a fresh opening for lawmakers to come together and prioritize the needs of Wisconsin families. A central pillar of Representative Tranel's current advocacy involves comprehensive energy reform, particularly concerning large-scale industrial projects in the Driftless region. This was underscored by his recent participation in a town hall meeting held August 17th at the Retreat Sportsman's Club in Vernon County. The event, sponsored by the Coalition Against Mirabel 765, brought together hundreds of residents and a bipartisan panel of officials to discuss the proposed 139-mile Mirabel 765 kilovolt transmission line. Beyond the transmission line, Tranel is calling for legislative action to address broader rural energy concerns, including the siting of industrial wind and solar projects. He has expressed support for initiatives which aim to restore local control and incorporate reform ideas proposed by colleagues across the aisle. By linking the state's robust budget surplus to these critical policy areas, Representative Tranel is urging his fellow legislators to find common ground and deliver results for rural Wisconsin before the upcoming November elections. Jayco is an American retro pop and rock and roll powerhouse, widely regarded as an undeniable triple threat. Fusing classic rockabilly grit with a sophisticated modern sound, he's carved out a unique space in the music industry as a singer, songwriter, and producer. often described as a modern-day Elvis with musical influences ranging from Prince to Bruno Mars. Jaco delivers a simple complexity in his music that teleports listeners across generations within a single track. The artist is best known for his high-energy stage presence and high-voltage stage show that captivates audiences of all ages. Fans will have the opportunity to experience this electric performance live when Jaco takes the stage at the City Auditorium in Richland Center Saturday, September 5th. The show is scheduled to run from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tickets for this highly anticipated event are priced at $20 for general admission, making it an accessible experience for music lovers. In a gesture toward his multi-generational fan base, children under the age of 10 will be admitted for free. For more information and to explore his retro-futuristic sound, fans can visit his official website. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke L. Rollins has introduced the Rancher's First Initiative, a comprehensive strategy aimed at revitalizing the great American beef herd and reinforcing the central role of American ranchers in the national food supply. This initiative introduces several critical actions designed to provide economic stability and operational support for producers. A cornerstone of the plan is the new Beef Retention and National Development, or BRAND, endorsement for livestock risk protection, which allows ranchers to ensure the value of retaining heifers for breeding purposes. Additionally, the initiative enhances disaster recovery by allowing the use of the Emergency Conservation Program on Grassland Conservation Reserve Program acres, facilitating the rapid restoration of infrastructure following natural events. The initiative also focuses heavily on processing infrastructure and market transparency. The USDA is establishing the Spur Guaranteed Loan Program to bolster regional slaughter facilities and co-ops, alongside a regional processor continuity effort intended to improve business resilience and keep processing capacity under American ownership. To further support domestic producers, the USDA will prioritize the federal procurement of locally processed American beef across various government institutions. Finally, the plan includes expanded support for the next generation of producers through the Beginning and Veteran Farmers and Ranchers Affairs Initiative, which leverages interagency partnerships to recruit and assist new and veteran ranchers in establishing successful operations. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has officially announced that the 2026 early goose season will begin Tuesday, September 1st, running through September 15th. This statewide opportunity features a daily bag limit of 5 Canada geese with uniform regulations applied throughout Wisconsin. This early season serves as a precursor to the regular goose season, which is scheduled to open in the northern and southern goose zones September 16th. Followed by the Mississippi River Goose Zone opening October 3rd. Recent population data indicates that the estimate for Wisconsin breeding Canada geese is currently slightly lower than the five-year average. Hunters planning to head afield are reminded of the strict documentation requirements necessary for legal participation. Essential items that must be carried at all times include a small game license, early Canada goose permit, and harvest information program registration. Additionally, hunters must possess proof of purchase for both state and federal waterfowl stamps along with a valid driver's license. The DNR accepts several forms of documentation, including physical paper copies, DNR-approved PDFs displayed on mobile devices, or a Go Wild conservation card. For those seeking further details regarding specific hunting locations or comprehensive regulations, the DNR encourages visiting their official waterfowl hunting webpage to ensure a safe and compliant season. Labor Day travelers are gearing up for end-of-summer getaways despite facing higher costs and expected traffic congestion. According to recent data from AAA, there's strong demand for popular destinations across the U.S., Canada, and Europe. Seattle, Orlando, Rome, and London are among the top choices for holiday travelers this year. Travelers should prepare for increased expenses across several categories. Domestic airfares averaging higher than last year, with flights to the most popular destinations seeing significant cost increases. Accommodations also show rising prices, with both domestic and international hotel bookings becoming more expensive compared to the previous year. However, not all costs are rising, as international airfare has seen a slight decline and domestic cruises are more affordable than last year. Road travel is expected to be busy, with significant traffic congestion predicted on the Thursday and Friday before the holiday weekend, as well as on the Saturday and Monday of the holiday. Motorists should anticipate higher gas prices and are encouraged to plan ahead, allow for extra travel time, and consider avoiding afternoon travel to escape the worst of the congestion. To ensure a smooth trip, travelers are advised to prioritize vehicle maintenance, such as checking tire pressure, battery health, and fluid levels before departing. Packing essential supplies like water, snacks, and an emergency kit is also recommended. Planning in advance by booking accommodations, transportation, and activities early can help reduce stress and avoid unexpected disruptions. Those looking for assistance with vacation planning can reach out to AAA Travel Advisors for help with customized travel plans. Two more winners in the Grace Calendar raffle drawing. Today's winners each receive $50, and they are, on ticket number 603, Carol Wilson of Richland Center, and on ticket 1327, Frank Quinn of Lafarge. Congratulations to both of you.